Heavenly Father, we do ask that you open our hearts and our minds now. Help us receive from you. Please fill our hearts with your Holy Spirit so that we can hear the Lord Jesus talking to us and change us as a result. Amen. I just need to unblank the screen. So we're continuing in our series on Mark's Gospel, and we're looking at chapter 1, verses 40 to 45. But I want to start telling you about Simon. Simon felt he was a bit of a misfit. And it all started when Simon was at school. He wasn't very good at sports, you see. So although he loved football, when it came to playtime, he was never chosen to be on anyone's side. He was left out and had to just watch from the sideline. "We don't want you, Simon," people said. "You're not good enough for our team. Go away and play by yourself." It was the same as a teenager. Simon wanted to be in the gang where he could meet some girls. But the other boys, well, they just thought he cramped their style. "Go away, Simon. We don't want you with us." Simon began to feel like a social outcast. He withdrew into himself. He so longed to be included, but he just didn't know how that could happen. You ever felt like Simon? I know I have at times. Nobody likes to feel left out, or lonely, or excluded. But that is how it is for many people. So I hope that you can identify with this chat we meet this morning in our reading from Mark's Gospel. And it is on page 1003. Mark chapter 1, verses 40 to 45. The man, according to verse 40, if you take a look, has leprosy. Now, back then, that was a really horrible disease to have, and it was effectively incurable. But even worse than that, it meant being excluded. This man was shunned by all around him. And exclusion is such a horrible thing, it can lead to depression. Even suicide. Nobody likes to feel left out. So I think we know how this poor chap was feeling. But why was this man excluded and shunned? Was it just people being a bit horrible? Was it fear of catching a contagious disease? Or is there something more going on here? The answer is that there is actually something more going on here. Yes, people were frightened of catching it. But the man is excluded because the Old Testament part of the Bible declares him to be unclean. And so that's my first point this morning, the problem of being unclean. The problem of being unclean. Let me read two verses from the Old Testament book of Leviticus to make the point. Leviticus chapter 13, verses 45 and 46. "The person with such an infectious disease must wear torn clothes, let his hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of his face, and cry out, 'Unclean, unclean.' As long as he has the infection, he remains unclean. He must live alone, he must leave the camp." The Old Testament says that in order to be part of the people of God, you need to be ceremonially clean. And if you're not clean, well, then you're out. You're excluded. Excluded from the people of God. And if you're excluded from the people of God, even worse, you're excluded from God himself. And that is the worst exclusion. Now, that might sound shocking to you. And I hope it shocks you, actually. Because instead of fixing this problem of exclusion, well, here in Leviticus, it sounds as if God is adding to it. And we think, if there's one person who could possibly accept me, it must be God. And yet, that doesn't seem to be what Leviticus is saying. So what is going on? Why are there all these laws on exclusion in the Old Testament? What is their purpose? The point actually is very simple. It's saying, look, God is pure, God is perfect. Nothing pure can exist in his presence. Somebody was telling me about a laboratory where they make all this specialized equipment for the space industry. So, you know, instruments that go into satellites and space stations and that sort of thing. The instruments have to be so clean. The laboratories have to be so perfectly sterile. Because one bit of dust, any speck of uncleanliness, and the whole space experiment could go wrong. And you know, that is what it's like with God. He lives in perfection, and nothing unclean can come in. And that is where the problem lies. This leper is not clean or pure or perfect. Far from it. He is therefore shut out from being part of God's people and from God himself. So you can see that, you can see why this man begs Jesus to make him clean. He's a desperate man. He needs cleansing because he knows he's not clean or pure or perfect. Only if he is cleaned can he become part of God's people again and then get close to God. So what this leper, you see, yes, he needs healing, but more than that, he needs cleansing. But the disturbing thing for all of us is, if we're honest, we're all like the leper, really, aren't we? And of course, that lies at the heart of the Christian message. We are all unclean. Sorry to say that, but we are. We are all, by default, alienated from God, separated from him. And this picture of being expelled from God's presence is right the way through the Bible. It starts at the beginning. Adam and Eve, they're kicked out of the Garden of Eden, kicked out of God's presence because they do wrong and they become unclean. And right the way through the Old Testament, Israel, they can never get into the Promised Land. And when they do, they get kicked out again. Why? Because they are an unholy rabble. And only holy people can exist in God's presence. So that is the problem of being unclean. You and I cannot get close to a holy God, not without being consumed. And this man with leprosy, he's just the tip of the iceberg. He represents us all. I can't overemphasize how huge this problem is. You see, we are created by God. We're designed by God to live in relationship with him. And God gives our lives meaning. Exclusion from God's presence can only mean in the long term sadness, death, and eternal loneliness. That is so awful. If you think things feel bad now, you haven't experienced anything yet. The question is there any hope? Well, yes, there is. There's wonderful hope. And that brings me to my second point, where we see the cleansing power of Jesus at work. Jesus deals with the problem. Be clean, he says. Jesus deals with the problem. Be clean, he says. This man with leprosy, yes, we see he is desperate. He knew his leprosy was incurable. And he thought, I'm destined to be unclean forever. And he knew that in the Old Testament, a cure for leprosy was regarded as being as difficult as raising the dead. There's only two examples of leprosy being cured in the Old Testament. He knows that it takes a great work of God to sort it out. But nonetheless, this man with leprosy approaches Jesus. He believes Jesus is capable of fixing his problem. This task, as difficult as raising the dead. So verse 40, the man with no other hope runs to Jesus, falls onto his knees, begs Jesus, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Let's just consider how Jesus might have responded. I mean, Jesus might have recoiled from the man. How dare you come close to me? You are contagious. How dare you risk getting me unclean too? I'm a man of God. Jesus could have run away. He could have said, go away, leper. You're not wanted. Unclean people don't have a place near me. Is that how Jesus reacts? No, he reaches out his hand and he touches the man. He touches the man. I am willing. Jesus said, be clean. Now, surely you would think touching a leper would make Jesus unclean too. It's not the case though, is it? Instead, the leprosy leaves the man. He is cured. So instead of the leper's uncleanness infecting Jesus, the purity of Jesus infects the leper. It's kind of reverse contagiousness. Instead of Jesus being infected by what was wrong with the man is filled with the goodness of Jesus. As I was preparing for this talk, one of the commentators also pointed out something I found quite fascinating. Because the word clean used there in verse 41, but do you know it's the exact opposite of the word used for evil back in verse 23? Remember back in the synagogue there was the man possessed with an evil spirit? The word evil there is the reverse of the word clean. And I think that's wonderful because, well, not only has Jesus come to touch the untouchables and cure them, it's almost as if he's saying, look, any evil that exists within you, I'm going to eradicate and solve. Jesus not only cleans us from being ill, from being social outcasts, but of any evil that exists in us. That's what he does for this leper. He purifies him. And Jesus will treat any of us who come to him in faith and hope and repentance in the same way. He will cleanse us from all that is wrong and unclean, from any evil that exists within us, from all that separates us from God's loving presence. You see, Jesus deals with the problem, be clean, he says, and he can deal with our problem. And isn't it wonderful, verse 41, Jesus is filled with compassion. We can come in confidence to a compassionate Saviour. He is both willing and able to touch the untouchables, even you and I, and to cleanse and heal us too, so we can exist in the presence of a holy God. Another interesting thing, that word compassion there in verse 41 can also be translated as anger. And that's an appropriate word too, because as Jesus encounters this man with leprosy, he feels anger. Now let me qualify, he's not angry at the man with leprosy. No, he's angry that this poor man's come into be such a state. He's angry that this man is cast out and excluded. You know the sort of anger when you're watching television and you see mass starvation in Africa? You feel angry. That is compassionate anger, and that is what Jesus feels here. He looks upon this leper who is unclean and excluded. And Jesus, well, his heart bleeds for the man. He knows he's unclean and cannot exist in the presence of God without being consumed. That may be the way it is, but Jesus is not happy that the world is in such a state. He is compassionately angry about it. And so he reaches out and heals the man. He is compassionate because he doesn't want any person to be excluded from God's kingdom. He loves people too much. And he's angry because the world is in a mess. It needs putting right. But that's why Jesus has come, to put things right. And Jesus does it by dying on the cross. So when the leper comes to Jesus and says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus says, yes, I am willing. When we come to Jesus and beg him for the same thing, make me clean, Jesus. I want to be in your presence. I don't want to be shut out from your love anymore. Jesus says, yes, I'm willing. Be clean of evil. Be clean of what separates you from the love of God. By my blood shed for you on the cross, be clean. The song we're singing at the end of the service picks up this theme. If you've got your service sheet, you might want to take a look at our last song. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Strong words, but that's what Jesus does for us. So do you want to get rid of the horrible loneliness and emptiness inside you? Do you want to feel washed clean of all that is wrong and evil? Do you want to feel included? Well, follow the example of this man. Jesus, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And hear Jesus' voice to you. I am willing, be clean. And so we come to the third point. The result is peace and full inclusion. The result is peace and full inclusion. Verses 43 and 44, Jesus says to the man, now go. Don't start spreading news around just yet. Go and see the priests. Why does he do that? The man's cured already. He's friends with God again. Well, I think there's two reasons Jesus says go to the priests. Firstly, I think Jesus wants to send a powerful message to the priests. He wants to say to the priests, look, the time you have been waiting for is here. The priests were longing for this time to arrive, this time of cleansing and full inclusion. We heard it in our Old Testament reading that Brenda read to us. Foreigners can be excluded, eunuchs can be excluded, no one needs to be excluded anymore. And the priests were waiting for that time. Jesus wants the man to go to the priests, and in doing so, Jesus would be effectively declaring to them, the time of the kingdom of God has arrived. You can see it here in this man who was cut off from me, but no longer. He has now been fully healed. He has been cleansed, so nobody now needs to be cut off from my presence anymore. That's the first reason for sending the man to the priests, to testify to them. But secondly, going to the priests will get the man ceremonially clean. Remember, at the moment the man's healed, he's okay with God, but he's not yet ceremonially clean. But the priests, they'll look at the man, they will verify the healing, they'll perform a few rituals and declare the man officially clean. It's as if he's given a certificate of clean health and he can go around to all the other people who have been saying, go away from me, unclean leper, and say, no, I'm clean now. The man can be reintroduced to God's people. No longer will he be an outcast. No longer will he be outside looking in. No, he'll be on the inside, in the presence of God and part of his people. So exclusion, not just from God, but exclusion from other people, comes a thing of the past. One of the great problems of our society is loneliness and exclusion, isn't it? It all stems from this problem we have with God. When we're out of sync with God, everything else goes out of sync. So when we are shut out from God's presence, well, we end up shutting other people out. We exclude others. But as I say, it's devastating. We're designed not only to be in relationship with God, but with one another. We're designed to be social animals. It's why we build towns and cities. We don't want to live alone. We want to cluster together. We want to be part of what's happening. However, people are too easily excluded. And once people feel excluded, well, I say it can lead to terrible things such as suicide. In fact, we're told that one of the reasons young men are becoming Islamic extremists is because they feel excluded from our society. So exclusion is a dreadful thing and causes a lot of hurt. But Jesus comes to make exclusion a thing of the past. When we celebrate Holy Communion, we do that rather strange ritual, don't we? The peace. Always a little bit embarrassing being British, isn't it? But actually, what it's symbolising is really important. It's saying, look, Jesus has reconciled us to God and us with each other. So we share a sign of peace with one another. Jesus restores the relationship, not only between us and God, but between you and I. And that's the wonderful gospel message. When Jesus cleanses us, not only do we have peace with God, we have peace with one another. So friends, as we look at our world so full of loneliness and exclusion and war, we really need to make this wonderful message of Jesus Christ known. It does not need to be this way any longer. Jesus has died to deal with the problem. He says to all who will come to him, "Be clean. Be clean, come into my presence and be with me forever. And now live at peace with one another. Because you are my brothers and sisters, God's children." This morning then, are you aching to be loved? Are you aching to be included? Are you feeling isolated? Well, why not join now with me in asking the compassionate Lord Jesus to cleanse us, to restore us, to fill us with his Spirit so we can know him personally and live among his people in peaceful harmony and full inclusion. I'll pray that in a moment, but let's just have some silence and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us, to fill us with the love of Jesus. Lord Jesus, we come to you and we know that we are wrong in so many ways and we're unclean, we're sinners. But you died for us and your blood can cleanse us completely. Lord Jesus, we know you are willing because you tell us. So please, cleanse us thoroughly. Put us right with God and each other. And Father, just fill us completely with your Holy Spirit so we can live new lives, full of the joy of knowing you and being at peace with each other. I just ask, Lord, if any of us here is holding anything against one of our brothers and sisters, no matter what they may have done to us in the past, give us the grace to forgive them and to be at peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.